Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Build your network. Episode 37.
Hey, this is Heather Mann from Fortune Academy. And if you want to earn your fortune, you should be listening to Build Your Network with my good friend, Travis Chappell.
You have the ambition, the knowledge, and the experience, but still lack those relationships necessary for achieving true success. Welcome to Build Your Network, your guide to growing your inner circle, increasing your influence, and assisting others in reaching their goals. This is networking the way it should be. Brought to you by your host, Travis Chappell.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the one and only show that brings you tips and tricks on networking from the best experts around 3 days a week. Although they may not all be in the same field, every guest that comes on the show has one thing in common. They believe, as I do, that building relationships is crucial to achieving any level of success in life. I cannot wait to introduce you to today's guest, but first, if you're listening to this, then there's a good chance that you're serious about building your network. If that's you, and only if you're serious, you should definitely check out my Facebook group, Build Your Network Beta. If you want more personal engagement, proven connection strategies and tactics, and some awesome giveaways like shopping sprees, Beats headphones, et cetera, then head on over to byn.media/FB to join the group, or you can search Facebook groups for Build Your Network Beta and join there. And once you do, please be sure to introduce yourself and say what's up, and I will catch you there. And now let's go ahead and chat with today's guest, Heather Mann. Heather initially was an optician after she left university in 2003. She soon realized the trappings of a 9-to-5 and immediately ventured out into property development, where she built a multi-million pound portfolio by the age of 25 using no money down strategies that were rife prior to 2008. She then leveraged this portfolio into the world of financial trading. Heather learned how to trade one-on-one from one of the best traders in London since 2009, with whom she invested £7.8 million. Heather now realizes that formal education will never teach you anything about financial freedom and is on a mission to teach thousands of people since 2014 how to trade Forex like she had learned. Better still, she is awarding students with money to trade with when they show a positive track record. Heather is renowned for making Forex simple for any background to learn, especially if you haven't traded before. Current traders will learn some valuable new strategies that will help them in all their trading styles. Heather, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know that we have had a couple conflicting schedules in the past, but I'm super excited to have you on. Why don't you go ahead and expound on that intro a little bit and then tell us more about yourself.
Thank you, Travis. Amazing intro. Thank you. Well, yes, you've covered all the professional stuff. So back to the very beginning, I guess something they haven't heard is the fact that I actually grew up in Kenya. And I then moved when I was 9 years old to my parents had a family-run business, which I learned all my endeavors from my parents and their mistakes. So bless them, they were trying their best, and they failed in their business. And then they came to England, to where my uncle was living, and we started from fresh, like complete start, absolute basic level. And from then on, I grew up in a very traditional family, so the ethics were very much education is key. So you go to school, you're going to get the top grades, and you will be happy for life. And it was a bit of a shock when I realized that that wasn't true. So, you know, that was my upbringing. So I was just studious kid, you know, academic, A grade kid, just trying everything to make, I thought that literally this is my way out. I didn't have a very exciting childhood because it was just, all I knew was there was a lack of money, and lack of money came with problems. So that was my driving force. From the age of 9, when we moved to England, I knew that, you know what, to solve my problems for my family, I have to be super wealthy when I grow up. So I was dying to get out into the real world and make money, but it wasn't in the way I thought it would happen.
No kidding. So, so you might say school failed you a little bit.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I was the top, you know, top A grades and everything. And I hated school, to be honest. Nobody likes reading and learning. And I mean, not that kind of reading, different type of reading. Like, you know,
yeah, no, academics. I understand. Yeah.
I was good at it, but I didn't like it. So school let me down because it never taught me anything about the real world. Like you literally will fall flat on your face if you rely on just, in my opinion, just your education. It doesn't teach you how to negotiate. It doesn't teach you networking, like something that you're passionately teaching people, which is fantastic, by the way. Things like that, they don't teach you that. They teach you like how to add 1 + 1 and then physics and history, which is great, but it actually doesn't make you wealthy if you are thrown in the middle of in the rat race. You literally have you've got nowhere to go. So I learned everything when I left school.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing that I was talking about this with somebody the other day. And that's the thing that I think is one of the most crippling aspects of school, is that you get taught to basically go to school for the first, you know, 13, and then into college, university, and then you're up into 17, 18, 19 years of your life. And then all of a sudden your education is just supposed to stop. You know, I think that's the biggest disconnect for people that go to school, is that once they walk across that platform and get their diploma, it's like, all right, I'm done learning now. And then you get into life and realize that like all the stuff that you learned doesn't really apply to real life anyway, but you're out of the learning mode. So now you're faced with all these real life problems, and it's just easier to shut down rather than continue to move forward. But yeah, I completely agree with you on that. So talk to us a little bit about your best investment advice, Heather. I know you're pretty diversified, several different asset classes. Where do you recommend starting, and where do you recommend doubling down?
I think, okay, so investment for me is simple return on investment, means how much money are you putting in and how much you're getting out. And the best ones are where you put nothing in at all, which sounds crazy, but it is possible. How do you do that? Well, first thing is you have to be good at knowing how to talk to people. Hence, this networking thing is super powerful. I was a very introverted kid, so let's just make that very clear. I wasn't that super excited, loud person at school. I was the one in the corner that wouldn't say a thing and was shy as hell. So this is for anyone who thinks, okay, to be good at networking, I've got to be extremely extrovert and I haven't got that skill. And you can do it regardless, because it's simply a fact of how can you add value to the other party. And how I was, to make a good investment, I'm literally finding, how can I add value to this person? And I can, for example, I started in property. So I was negotiating. I was so good at negotiating. I found out how to get houses for very low prices because people were desperate to sell or had financial troubles. And I would fix a problem, and then I'd find somebody with the money. They'd bridge the finance, and then I would make the profits based on that. You know, so it was finding what you're good at, and resourcefulness.
Resourcefulness. Yes. That's exactly the word I was going to pull out of that whole story. There's a couple of key lessons there, but the main one I think is resourcefulness.
business and problem solving, looking at a situation and realizing that there's money to be made, and then just figuring out how to do it. And you didn't have any money to start with, but then you realize that wholesaling real estate and becoming the middleman is probably a pretty good way to get started, because you don't have to have any capital. You find someone that has the capital, you find the deal, and then you make the two go together, and then you take the something that's in between that. And that's fantastic. But anyway, keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
So no, you're absolutely right. So what? So that's property. But if you had to do it with financial world, so how I did that? If I had no money, I came from property background before I went into financial, so I had a bit of money. But if I had nothing, what I would do, again, use the same skills. I'm good at negotiating, communicating, closing a deal. So I would find someone who can make somebody else's money grow really well. So rich people want to get richer. That's the simple truth about being wealthy. They know what makes money, and they're happy to talk to people that will make them wealthy. So if you are going to start from nothing, then find the people who can add value to the rich person. I became a shareholder of a fund by doing this. I made lots of friends through networking, high net worth individuals, and then I introduced them to the trader in the city that I actually learned everything from, and he traded their money. That entry level money was £250,000. So soon it built up to multi-million pound funds. If you had no money of your own, I already put some money in, but let's pretend I had nothing in. I would still do the same thing. I would introduce the rich people to the trader. The trader would say, okay, thank you very much. Because you've introduced so many millions, I'm going to give you X amount. I negotiated the deal beforehand. I said, if I bring 10 mil to the table, I want 30% of the fund. And I'll be honest, it still happens today. So anyone can do it. And you are then making passive income from the trader doing all the hard work. You're the middle person, and you're making money because you've added value to the high net worth. They're happy. The trader's happy. He's got more money, commissions. I'm happy because I agree that I will get a portion of what the trader makes. So everyone wins.
Yeah. And I love in that situation that you can earn while you learn. And I think that's another shortcoming of school that, and I didn't bring you on so that we could bash school, but I do think that's a shortcoming of school, is that you're paying to learn the whole time. You don't make money to learn. You pay to learn. And what you were doing there was literally making money and learning from one of the best traders in London at the same time. So learning a skill set that would benefit you in the future to be able to do your own trading and make your own money, but at the same time earning money because you were the one that brokered the deal to begin with. And so many awesome takeaways from that. So let's go ahead and dive deep into the networking aspect, because I think it's really interesting how much you've already been talking about it. And I don't know if it's just because you're on my show and you feel like that's what you should be talking about.
No, it's actually the fundamentals of everything. I mean, I knew you liked the networking aspect, and I think it's amazing you teach people that, but it's actually the basis on why I am successful, because it's who you know in this industry. I don't claim to be a genius. I'm not some super clever trader or property investor. I'm good, but because of the people that's taught me, and I found that from networking. And it's so I didn't create it, sitting in my house all alone. So that's the thing. The networking is super powerful. I literally know how to find opportunities from, okay, this person can create an opportunity here. But it's how you add value. So networking is only good. A lot of people think it's just take. And that's when networking can become very distasteful. It becomes almost annoying. People don't like you if you just want to take from them. I like people who network by saying, okay, how can I add value? They're adding value to my life. I'm adding value to their life. It's a mutual benefit going on. And that's when networking is super powerful. So that's all you got to do.
You're literally answering all the questions I had for you, Heather. I don't know where to go from here. I was about to ask you, do you believe what you know or who you know is more important? And you literally were just like, oh, it's who you know. And then my next question was talking about giving and taking, and you just answered that question. So,
Well, we're on the right wavelength. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. And just to piggyback on what you were saying, that is the, I think, number one disconnect in networking, quote unquote networking. And I think that it causes a lot of people to be really timid about it, because some people, I feel like there's two extremes, right? There's the networker that you're talking about that's always trying to take. And he's always got 1,000 new business cards hot off the press in his back pocket to throw in your face and ask for this and ask for that. And then he moves on to the next person without even hearing your name or where you're from or anything like that. But then you also have the person that looks at that person and doesn't
doesn't want to be that person so much that they just don't network at all. So what is your advice to that person?
So they don't want to network because what they don't like.
They're afraid of being that annoying friend that nobody wants to talk to.
Well, it's very simple, actually. It's about building relationships. So for the annoying person, they're only annoying because they're not genuine. That's why they're annoying. So to be not annoying, it's actually just connecting to your inner self, i.e. just being like, okay, I genuinely am going to add value to this person, or I'm going to find a way to help. So a lot of people focus on the money. They think, okay, how can I make money from this person? That's the worst thing in the world. I never focus on money, and I don't remember the last time I have. I know I will make money regardless. It's easy to make money. But what's more important is the relationship I'm building and the trust I'm building and the integrity. So that's all you've got to go out there. You know, I mean, the reason I bought a car without looking at it, for example, is because I trusted the guy that I deal with who buys mine, sells my cars, etc. He is so good at building rapport. And these are the best communicators. If you want to do very high-end business or any kind of business, people go to who they like. Even if somebody else cuts them, I'm talking to you, I build a rapport with you, I like you. When somebody else just comes 5 minutes of their time with me and they're like, you know what, I can do better than Travis, I'll be like, no thanks, maybe you do, but I like Travis. I'm going to help him. So that's networking. That's when it's powerful, and that's when it's not annoying, rather than I can do everything. It's just integrity and being authentic.
Being authentic. Yeah. Building deep, genuine relationships with people that don't have any sort of back end offer to use some online marketing terms there, but there's no hidden agenda when you're going to connect with these people. You're just genuinely trying to build relationships. And like, I like that you brought in the money into it and said, it's not about the money, it's about the relationship. Because I feel that a lot of people treat it like cold calling, you know, like in-person cold calling. They look at networking event like in-person cold calling opportunity. Oh, look, and I come from a door-to-door sales background, Heather. So I've been doing door-to-door sales for as long as I can remember. And the problem is people treat networking like it's door-to-door sales. Like they'll go up to every single person and treat it like a numbers game and quote unquote knock the door, talk to the person, give them a little spiel, and then they say no, they move on to the next one. And it's just not how you go about doing it. And like I said, I'm a door-to-door salesman. So I think it has its place. Cold calling always has its place, but not in relationship building.
Yeah, you're right. No, but you know what? You're lucky, because I think everyone should do something cold calling or canvassing. I did it myself, and that was how a quiet person can become taken out of their shell. Because I was scared of rejection, and the only thing that will destroy your confidence immediately is cold calling or door-to-door canvassing, because that will be the quickest way you get over this rejection issue. And once you pass that, then you're very good at rapport building. So I think actually it's an advantage you came from that, because you know how not to feel a problem if someone doesn't want to talk to you, because it's just like people may do that. But you're doing it in a different way this time. So you'll actually be a better networker if you've had that experience, in my opinion. I was better at negotiating deals because I used to sell mobile phones when I was 16, you know, and just the stuff that the annoying salesperson, that was me. but that built my confidence, because I didn't care that somebody walks past you and just hates you, and you just shrug it off and smile and next person. And that's powerful. And network building is actually just a sophisticated different level. But with the basis of that, self-image is huge, because the only reason people will be scared of networking to a very good level is because they don't think they're worth talking to themselves. I remember when I was really young, I used to think, oh my God, I can't offer that person. That guy's way too big. Like, I'm nobody. That's a really bad image, self-image you've created in your head. So unless you destroy that and you're fully confident, you've got everything to bring to the table, nothing to lose, that's when you become a good networker as well.
Yeah. And if I can add on to that, what you're just saying is something that I've found to be completely true with this podcast. And it's funny that I'm really introverted, naturally. So I'm a natural introvert. Like you were saying, I'm not the person that is like always trying to be the center of attention. And like, I would rather be by myself. When I go to a networking event, like I have to force myself to go out and talk to people. I naturally would rather just sit there and get on Facebook or like text a buddy, something funny, you know what I mean? what I mean? Like make fun of people in the room or something like that. That's my, exactly. That's my natural tendency to do that. And so I think it's funny that we're both kind of introverted, but we're both talking about how much cold calling and door to door and that kind of a thing helped us come out of that and build confidence, because confidence has been very, very important for me to get the quality of guests that I have on the show. I mean, even talking to you right now, Heather, like I think probably one of the big reasons that you're even talking to me right now is some of the other guests that I was able to get on the show, and they're recognizable names, people that you've talked to, people like Patrick Bet-David, really, really awesome guy who I just kind of reached out to on an Instagram message one day. And I can tell you that I've probably reached out to 20 more people that are just as influential or more as Patrick is. And, you know, a lot of them never said anything back to me. A lot of them, you know, said no. And a lot of them said, you know what, come back when you have a better following. Or, you know, a lot of people said no, and a lot of people didn't answer. But like you're saying, when you have that confidence, like it just doesn't faze me anymore. It just is like, you know what? All right, no worries. You know, if I can help at all, let me know. I always try to offer something, offer to give some value when somebody says no. Is there anybody I could introduce you to? Or is there any way that I can help you out or anything like that in the meantime? And then, you know, maybe in the future we can work something out. And you don't have to take it personally. Just realize that, like, okay, it's not going to work out right now, but in the future it might. And maybe I can add some value to you in the meantime. I love so much about what you're saying. It's just fantastic. If you had to boil it down to one aspect, I know we've talked about a few different things here and there today. Just one tip, like one takeaway that you would want somebody listening to this, to go home with about how to grow your inner circle the right way. What would that one tip be?
Before you enter any venue or networking or whatever group or even a meeting, always know what you want before. Know the end goal before you enter. If you just head in, like just make conversation from no idea, then your conversation is going to go all over the place. But if you have an end goal, my outcome from this conversation will be XYZ, you will own that place.
That is a very actionable tip, and actually one that I, something that I've actually really been trying to work on recently. Is because I've been definitely that person that just kind of goes into a conversation just like, hey, whatever happens. But then I started realizing that my follow up on those conversations, and like you were saying before, the actual relationship building comes from having something beforehand that you're going into that conversation with, something that you want to capitalize on in that conversation, especially when you're talking to people of influence or somebody that you really, really want to get to know in that regard. Heather, throughout your career, I think I know the answer to this, but throughout your career, how important to you and to your success have mentorships and group mastermind settings and stuff like that been?
Oh, wow. Yes, you do know the answer to that, because I'm going to say it's huge. And mentors are incredibly powerful people. I surround myself with mentors all the time. Even now, I upgrade them constantly, because depending on your personality type and depending on how successful and how quickly you learn things and achieve things, you're going to have to keep stepping up the mentorship. I've had so many coaches I work with, and eventually they've plateaued in what they can offer me, and then I go and step my game up. But that's great, because it's constantly raising the bar, and I wouldn't be where I am without it, because we all have a subconscious ceiling above our heads, and you can very easily get comfortable, and that's the dangerous part. And it's not unhealthy. A lot of people think that, okay, you can't constantly be striving for something and never be satisfied. Technically, you are never satisfied, but it's the process you are in love with. And it's not a destination. It's just the constant growth that I love. So I'm always happy. So it's not that I'm unhappy and I want more. It's I love growing and I love learning. And I can only do that when I'm surrounding myself with people that are better than me, people that are going to teach me something new, and mentors that are, you know, have achieved it tenfold compared to me. So very important. Super important.
Super hypothetical here, but if you had not made some of those connections with some of the mentors that you've been able to spend time with, rub shoulders with, how far behind do you think you would be if you tried to just bootstrap it and do it on your own?
Oh my gosh. I think I would be still probably getting nervous about a house purchase, maybe my fourth house purchase, and I have 158. So I did that by the age of 26, and that's I'm 35 now, so it's a long time ago. I would probably still be doing very amateur stuff. Very amateur. You know, I definitely don't believe in recreating the wheel yourself. It's just futile exercise.
Yeah, and there's no reason to do it. You know, like, I think some people feel like if they get help, then they didn't really do it for some reason. And it just doesn't make sense to me. And the reason I ask that question is because those are the kind of answers I like to get, where it's just like, oh, I don't even know. You know, like, if I didn't meet the people that I met, if I didn't create relationships the way that I did, I have no idea where I would be at this point. Probably working a 9-to-5, or, you know what I mean? Like, doing, like you said, doing really amateur stuff and not playing the big league that I'm doing right now. Like, with it being that important, with this idea of building relationships and networking being that important and that crucial to success, why do you think, Heather, personally, why do you think that so many people neglect to do it?
Networking, just because they are conditioned. They probably have a job, and then just think about the environment they're in. The full 8 hours at least of their day, they're sitting next to somebody who is going to tell them, oh yeah, you know what, life's all about. Let's go home, watch TV, go to the pub, or go, they do what everybody else. It's that mass herd mentality. It subconsciously takes over. You watch the news. I don't watch news, but it's negative. It stops you even wanting to step out of your house if you keep watching that stuff.
So true.
You know, and they're watching the same stuff. They're reading the same stuff, which is all rubbish. They're probably reading tabloids. Their life and their boss. I mean, think about their boss is probably just is happy that they're not going to try and do something different. They're like the workforce for them or the company owner. So it's not often that they will be in the environment that the working environment is probably the most toxic one to growth. If you want to be an entrepreneur, that is, very little people will support you. Most people want to be in that comfort zone. Most people just want to fit in. And the truth is, to be successful, you can't rely on fitting in, because that's the number one reason you're going to fail, because you've got to be different. You have to do something different, or you'll just be the same as, you know, generations gone past.
Do you think that's something that can be learned, or do you think that's something that you're born with?
The bad conditioning, or
the ability to not be in the norm, the ability to let go of the security and go off and venture on to something that you really want to do?
Yeah, great question. Of course it can be learned, because I learned it. I was very conditioned. I came from the environment where education was everything. You just do what your job and your career was life. You know, that was it. I learned everything from networking, and that opened my eyes and my whole world changed, because I went to the first networking event ever. It was a property networking event in 2003, and I never looked back. I was addicted, because the vibe was great. And I thought, oh my God, people actually think differently here, and it's so much more refreshing. Don't feel so trapped. So 100% can be learned. Just like a dog can learn a trick, you can learn, and you're never too old. I don't believe in that. You're never too young either, which is something that most young people think they're too young. And I almost felt too young when I started.
I was going to say, so when did you have your first transaction, your first property?
22, which is actually quite late, because I went to university and, you know, so you finish at 21 and 22. I got 4 properties in the first transaction, actually, but I did that at 22. And then I was buying houses every week since then. And it was, you know, it was something I just thought, forget it. I'm not going to wait till I'm 30. I'm going to do it all now.
Yeah.
But I had a subconscious feeling in my head that I did put a ceiling on my head at around 30. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm too young to be too this rich. But the reason I got over that is I stopped hanging out with people my age. And yeah. I hung out with people that were in their 40s, so 20 years older than me.
Right.
And even now, my mentors are always way older than me, because they've already like floated public companies, they're chairmen of a few public listed companies, and you know, they've done it. They make it sound easy, which is that's all you need.
Right.
You want someone to show you it's easy. And then that fear is suddenly it goes. Whereas if you talk to someone younger than you or someone very unexperienced, then you're just they're going to tell you how difficult it is. They'll tell you a million reasons why you shouldn't and you can't do it. And they'll just knock your confidence completely.
Oh my goodness. That's so true. Jim Rohn just hit the nail on the head when he said that about, you know, you're going to be the 5 people you hang out with the most, you know, like you're the average of those 5 people, and surrounding yourself with people who have already been and done already been to the places and done the things that you want to do is just invaluable to making sure that you hit that next level and that you continue to grow and you continue to push yourself. And that's incredible. So you went at 22, bought the first property. And then by the time you were 26, you did 150, you said?
Yeah, 156 that I kept. But in between, I was buying and selling. I probably bought and sold. Yeah, I kept 156. And between that period, I had probably bought and sold 400. And then I used to do auction. So from period of 2007, just before 2008, I was doing 9 months of providing auction houses with properties, and we were doing 42 a month. So gosh, I think it was 9 months of time. Do the math there. So that was an extra, you know, but that was, this is networking. I found someone from the banking industry that had all the repossessed houses in foreclosed house, you know, that list of foreclosures. They were coming to me, and then I would have a 2-week window whereby I could supply to the auction house and nobody else knew about it. And then I would flip them like 42 every month. It was crazy. So, I literally didn't stop. I was addicted to buying houses.
that's awesome. That's awesome. I need to get on your level now, Heather. You've inspired me. So, because I believe my first property was on when I was 22. Well, technically it was like when I was like 18 or 19, but that was like a partnership with my parents, and it wasn't really like me doing it by myself. You know, I definitely haven't been doing one a week since then. so
it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just relative. It's not something you would want to compare yourself to. I mean, I don't actually compare myself to anyone.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's a very, it's kind of dangerous doing that, because that takes the locus of control out of yourself.
Comparison is a thief of joy. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you got to do it for you. And you don't need to be, I'm talking about general people now, they don't need to be super wealthy if they don't want to be. They just need to be able to live life on their terms. I think that's the most important point. So just anything that will stop the excuses of I haven't got enough money or time or freedom, anything that stops that, you're successful. It doesn't mean you need to have 156 properties. It doesn't mean you need to have companies listed on the stock exchange, or it doesn't mean anything. That's a personal thing. It just means do what you feel that makes you like free, financially free and emotionally free, and do it for your family, do it for you. It has to be you first, and then you're that better human being when you do it for everyone else. So you know life will take you on that journey itself. When you get completely aligned with yourself and you're doing what you completely love, it will never be difficult to raise the bar. So that's probably another bit of advice I'd give someone.
And so much good stuff. Like I said, I could talk to you about investments for a lot longer, and definitely talked about networking for longer too, but go ahead and move on to the last part of the show here. Something I like to call the random round, which is just a few really quick random questions with some quick random answers. You ready?
Yes.
This is the random round.
What profession other than your own do you think would be fun to attempt?
I wanted to be a race driver.
If you could sit on a park bench with someone, past or present, and talk to them for an hour, who would it be and why?
Wow. Gosh, my God. First person that came to mind was Michael Jackson, because I used to be a super fan. I actually just want to ask him a few, like, are you really that weird, or are you just you know, unique? the guy's a legend. I mean, he needed help. That's probably why. I'd like to psychoanalyze that guy. That's all.
Yeah. Nobody's meant to be that famous. I think that's the answer. I think he was
poor man. Yeah.
How do you like to learn best? Books, blogs, podcasts, videos?
Actually, visualization.
So like getting in, doing it, like learning from a mentor type thing?
From just picturing it. And just like seeing myself doing that. And then obviously I think all of them, I definitely read. I love reading and I love doing as well. So I like to throw myself in the deep end.
What's one of your favorite books?
Psycho Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz.
Psycho Cybernetics, you said?
Yeah, Psycho Cybernetics.
Okay. Give us a glimpse of your morning routine.
Morning routine is waking up, having no mobile phone access. I normally have a morning walk, which is I live in the country for a reason, because it keeps me very like aligned and not so stressed out. I have a healthy breakfast. I read and then I look at my mobile phone and emails and stuff, but it's usually a very strict, almost like a meditation state in the morning, but just chilled, very calm, morning, get into peak state. That's the most important thing. And then I work out obviously after that.
What is your go-to pump up song?
Oh, wow. God. I know. Hans Zimmer, Rush. The theme song to Rush, Hans Zimmer. That gets me in the zone. The guy's a legend, Hans Zimmer.
What are you not very good at?
Oh, admin, paperwork, anything that requires real attention, like, you know, the hard stuff in business.
The details, yeah.
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 I'm not into paperwork.
We definitely share that. We definitely share that.
I love my staff for that. I can't live without them. So thank you.
All right. So we get everything wrapped up here, Heather. What is one place where we'll be able to find you the most?
The gym. Or my house, definitely the most. Other than that, the gym or the private members club near me, Soho Farmhouse, incredible place.
You spend a lot of time there?
Yeah, it's just the best place in the world. It's just, it's like the Hamptons in New York, but in America. So you've got, it's like the Hamptons of England. It's just very chill, like it's a beautiful place and it's scenic, it's got nice food, everything, the vibe's great. Very, very creative.
Alrighty. And then online, if people could listen to the show, want to go look at your stuff and figure out more about you, where would you like them to go?
FortuneAcademy.co.uk. So that would take them straight to the site where I have put together everything that I believe in, helps people become financially free, emotionally free. So everything that I really believe in is in that company, and that's what is the wealth education platform that I've created.
And do you spend a lot of time on social media, or
if only for work, only business? Okay. If it was for business, it would not happen. No, I think everyone likes a bit of, you know, you have to be careful what you follow on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't follow the trash, but I have to use it religiously for my business, because it's the place where people connect and people learn about what I do. I love that. I think it's great for connecting people. And if you reach out to the right influencers and you're gaining positive influence from the people you follow on social media, then it's fantastic. But for the trash, it's horrendous. So I don't do the trash on social media. I don't just do stuff idly on there. I have a purpose for why I'm on the social media.
Are all of your social media links found on your website?
Yes. If you go to my YouTube, yes, there will be actually all of them.
Perfect. So for all things Heather, just go over to fortuneacademy.co.uk and you can find anything there about her. All of social media links and YouTube and all that good stuff will be on there. Heather, thank you so much for coming on the show. I had a blast. I learned a ton from you.
Thank you, Travis. Really, really grateful. Thank you for having me.
That's all for this episode of Build Your Network. Your next step is to visit byn.media/FB to join in on our Facebook group for more personal engagement, proven strategies and tactics to reach your ultimate goals. That's byn.media/FB. Remember, you're only one connection away.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.